the important thing. His eyes strayed to the pie, which he had placed on top of the TV in his Northeast Harbor motel room. The crust still pulsed slowly up and down like a loathsome heart. It was important that his daughter got nowhere near that thing. It was dangerous. It would be best for her to stay there until we have our problems worked out, he said. On the other end of the line, Heidi burst into loud sobs. Billy asked her what was wrong.
You're wrong. You sound so cold.
I'll warm up, he said. Don't worry. There was a moment when he could hear her swallowing back the sobs and trying to get herself under control. He waited for this to happen with neither patience nor impatience. He really felt nothing at all. The blast of horror which had swept through him when he realized the thing on the seat was Janelli's hand, that was really the last strong emotion he had felt tonight. Except for the queer laughing fit that had come on him a bit later, of course. What kind of shape are you in? She asked finally. There's been some improvement. I'm up to 122. She drew in her breath.
That's 6 pounds less than you weighed when you left.
It's also 6 pounds more than when I weighed myself yesterday morning, he said mildly.
Billy, I want you to know that we can work all of this out. Really, we can. The most important thing is to get you well, and then we'll talk. If we have to talk with someone else, someone like a marriage counselor, well, I'm game if you are. It's just that we...
Oh, Christ. She's going to start bawling again, he thought, and was shocked and amused, both in a very dim sort of way, at his own callousness. And then she said something that struck him as peculiarly touching, and for just a moment he regained a sense of the old Heidi, and with it, the old Billy Halleck.
I'll give up smoking if you want, she said.
Billy looked at the pie on the TV. Its crust pulsed slowly, up and down, up and down. He thought about how dark it had been when the old gypsy man slit it open, about the half-disclosed lumps that might have been all the physical woes of mankind, or just strawberries. He thought about his blood pouring out of the wound in his hand and into the pie. He thought about Janelli. The moment of warmth passed. You better not, he said. When you quit smoking, you get fat. Later, he lay on top of the made bed with his hands crossed behind his neck, looking up into the darkness. It was 1:45 in the morning, but he had never felt less like sleeping. It was only now, in the dark, that some disjointed memory of the time between finding Janelli's hand on the seat of the Nova and finding himself in this room and on the phone to his wife began to come back to him. There was a sound in the darkened room. No, but there was a sound like breathing. No, it's your imagination. But it wasn't his imagination. That was Heidi's scripture, not William Halleck's. He knew better than to believe some things were just his imagination. If he hadn't before, he did now. The crust moved, like a rind of white skin over living flesh, and even now, 6 hours after Lemke had given it to him, he knew that if he touched the aluminum plate, he would find it was warm. Purpa fagade ansiktet, he murmured in the dark, and the sound was like an incantation. When he saw the hand, he only saw it. When he realized half a second later what he was looking at, he screamed and lurched away from it. The movement caused the hand to rock first one way and then the other. It looked as if Billy had asked how it was, and it was replying with a comme-ci, comme-ça gesture. Two of the ball bearings slipped out of it and rolled down to the crack between the bench and the back of the seat. Billy screamed again, palms shoved against the shelf of jaw under his chin, fingernails pressed into his lower lip, eyes huge and wet. His heart set up a large, weak clamor in his chest, and he realized that the pie was tipping to the right. It was within an ace of falling to the Nova's floorboards and shattering. He grabbed it and righted it. The arrhythmia in his heart ceased. He could breathe again. and that coldness Heidi would later hear in his voice began to steal over him. Gianelli was probably dead. No. On second thought, strike the probably. What had he said? If she ever sees me again before I see her, William, I ain't never going to have to change my shirt again. Say it out loud, then. No, he didn't want to do that. He didn't want to do that. And he didn't want to look at the hand again. So he did both. Gianelli's dead, he said. He paused, and then because that seemed to make it a little better. Gianelli's dead. There's nothing I can do about it. Except get the fuck out of here before a cop... He looked at the steering wheel and saw that the key was in the ignition. The Hicks key ring, which displayed a picture of Olivia Newton-John in a sweatband, dangled from a piece of rawhide. He supposed the girl, Gina, might well have returned the key to the ignition when she delivered the hand. She had taken care of Gianelli, but would not presume to break whatever promise her great-grandfather might have made to Gianelli's friend, the fabled white man from town. The key was for him. It suddenly occurred to him that Gianelli had taken a car key from one dead man's pocket. Now the girl had almost surely done the same thing. But the thought brought no chill. His mind was very cold now. He welcomed the coldness. He got out of the Nova, set the pie carefully on the floor, crossed to the driver's side, and got in. When he sat down, Gianelli's hand made that grisly, seesawing gesture again. Billy opened the glove compartment and found a very old map of Maine inside. He unfolded it and put it over the hand. Then he started the Nova and drove down Union Street. He had been driving almost 5 minutes when he realized he was going the wrong way, west instead of east. By then he could see the McDonald's golden arches up ahead in the deepening twilight. His stomach grumbled. Billy turned in and stopped at the drive-through intercom. "Welcome to McDonald's," the voice inside the speaker said. "May I have your order?" "Yes, please. I'd like 3 Big Macs, 2 large orders of French fries, and a coffee milkshake." Just like the old days, he thought and smiled. Gobble it all in the car, get rid of the trash, and don't tell Heidi when you get home. "Would you like any dessert with that?" "Sure, a cherry pie." He looked at the spread-out map beside him. He was pretty sure the small bulge just west of Augusta was Gianelli's ring. A wave of faintness washed through him. "And a box of McDonaldland cookies for my friend," he said, and laughed.